day.
It's the Naughty Show, Playboy Radio, all things comedy.
Gareth, you got any dates coming up?
Absolutely, Samuel Tripoli. I will be at the Ontario Improv the last weekend of February and what bleeds into the first weekend of March with comedian Steve Byrne and comedian Michael O'Connell.
Vicky, do you have any dates coming up?
Whittier, California. I will be at the Ultra Lounge, which is at the Radisson Hotel, on March 7th.
Guys, I'm very excited to announce I'm going to be doing my own tour coming up March 18th. I will be at the Funhouse in Portland, March 19th. I'll be in Seattle at the Highline Bar. And all those dates are on my website. I'm also going to be at Heckler's in Vancouver that weekend also. So, and then this week, February 20th, we have the Naughty Show in the main room at the Comedy Store. Gareth will be there. Vicky will be there. Everybody will be there. Comedy by Morgan Murphy. Owen Benjamin.
Joe DeRosa,
and Tiffany Haddish, plus much, much more. It will be great. We want you guys to check out the Comedy Film Nerds. Isn't that right, Vicky?
If you go on Twitter, at Earbuds Pod Movie, that is the Comedy Film Nerds podcast documentary they're making. It's not just about podcasts and podcasters, but it's about the listeners.
They're hilarious. We love them.
Comedy Film Nerds, all things comedy. And remember, without you guys...
we're just talking to ourselves.
We have had some technical problems.
We are live. It's the Naughty Show, Playboy Radio. I wish we had the Jeffersons music. Moving on up. And when the bunny calls,
yeah,
you answer.
You don't run from the bunny.
This is the Naughty Show. Here's Sam, Gareth, and Vicky.
All right, it's the Naughty Show here on Playboy Radio. Also can be downloaded on all things comedy, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, much, much more. It's an exciting show. It's actually Gareth's 100th episode. He's not here.
I know. Yay. Congratulations.
Please welcome my co-host, a regular on the Church of What's Happening Now, Vicky Pezza.
What's going on, Tripoli?
What's up, you cocksucker?
We're back-to-back episodes on Church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah, dude, spreading the word, man. Spreading the word, man. A lot of great stuff going on, Gareth. We'll talk about Gareth's episode next. Want to talk about the field trip last night.
It was so great. We went to the Viper Room.
Yeah, we went to the Viper Room. I almost wanted to swing on the door guy because he's a D-bag. I can't wait to see that guy working there for like the next 20 years. I'm just going to mock him every time I get a new car. Hey, look who's still working there. Asshole with the fucking glasses. None's worse than a jock wearing glasses. Like, hey, I'm a hipster. I'm a nerd. And I'm a jock. Fuck yourself.
What happened? What exactly happened?
Like, I'm like, oh, dude, there's supposed to be four of us on the there's supposed to be me plus four. He's like, nope, can't do it. I'm like, what do you mean, can't do it? Nope, can't do it. You got to go upstairs, get somebody. I'm like, okay.
Like, go upstairs.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
Clearly, we're a group. Yeah, we're together.
Right, right.
You got the plus three.
Yes. Why couldn't I have a plus four? Why? Why? And then I'm like, then I look over there, and for Valentine's Day, the Eagles of Death Metal are playing the Viper Room. How insane is that?
I don't even know who they are, but you were very excited.
And I literally go, oh my God, the Eagles of Death Mountain play. He's like, dude, no need to yell, bro. I'm like, what?
Really?
I go, he goes, seriously. I go, oh, you're serious. And dude, I am telling you, Armenian blood started boiling. I am not lying to you. I'm like, okay, how much do I like Toledo? How much do I like Charlie that I'm not going to cause a fucking incident right now and start fucking a big fucking fight with this idiot who's doing the door?
You liked him.
Welcome for his 100th episode, Gareth Reynolds.
Hey.
Gareth, it's your 100th episode.
Hey, guys. You're in
syndication.
What a ride it's been. And where's the cake that says 100? A lot of people to thank. My agents over at ICM. And, all the little people who said I wouldn't make it to 100. You can suck my dick. I did it. And you didn't. Okay? Thank you.
Let's play a game called What Show Was Gareth At? Where was it, the three clubs again?
No, it was at the Lexington downtown.
Oh, that's a fun gig.
Yeah.
Is that the one that's kind of outside, too?
There's an outside area, yeah.
Yeah, I used to do shows out there, and Amanda Bynes came to mind.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, no, so it's got the seal of normalcy.
And you know what? No, it wasn't Amanda Bynes. Who's the girl from the
It is a letdown.
The Bunny movie? Who was it? Benjamin
Anna,
was in it?
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
Oh.
She wasn't married then.
She's thriving.
And she was so hot, and I was just throwing fire trying to impress
her. Who's hotter, Amanda Bynes or her?
Anna Faris is pretty hot.
But Bynes has got crazy eyes.
I like the Bynes vibe.
Very crazy, like she'll do, let you do bad things to her.
I like that half-wig coked up look.
Hey, so let's talk about your last 100 episodes. How's it feel, man?
Crazy, man. You know, crazy. I mean, who knew?
They just flew by.
They flew by, Sammy. 100 weeks, 100 memories, 100 friends, maybe more. What a ride. What an absolute roller coaster. What a ride.
It's your 100th episode.
I mean, Sam, what a ride.
What a ride.
I mean, what a ride.
So, like, should we engage Michael Winslow again?
We should, but I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, the pulses run dead. I sent him a picture when I was in Tampa. He had his head shut up against the wall, and I was shit-faced. So I took a picture of me, like, cutting my throat, like, in the picture.
Oh, that should be fun.
And I sent that to him, and nothing.
I can't believe he didn't like that.
Yeah, he seems
like amazing.
He felt threatened. I don't know. I don't know what people think.
I retweeted it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I thought it was great, too.
You just found out about it, but you're on board.
Yeah, it was great. But anyways,
well, thank
100th.
You.
I mean, I wish we didn't have cupcakes or anything.
I will say that it's been great. I'm very glad to be a part of it. Everybody's fantastic. It is a family. And 5 stars, guys. 5 stars. Give
Thank
it to
you.
Us. Especially the 100th episode. Guys.
I got you the pain video. I mean the painting.
What's
Bane,
that?
The Bane picture last time.
the pain video.
And then you got me the pain memory just now when you were trying to remember what you got.
Sometimes
me.
My brain gets stuck in muzz. Just
what? The fact that you had traction. To think brain, pain, and Bane.
Okay, can give it up for Vicky Chinese Eyes over here. How high are you, Chinese Eyes?
Vicky, if we dig through Earth, will we go to where you're from?
So anyways, we go to Toledo show. What would you guys say was the highlight of the Toledo show? Would you say it was?
I know mine.
Okay, what was yours?
When he basically touched Sarah's face, and it almost looked like he made her ghost jizz. That's what I'll call it.
Yeah. What was your favorite moment?
I think the girls, when they had those things on their head and smoking. I don't know. It looked like...
Bras?
Was it? Oh, like hoods?
Hoodies, like some S&M shit. Charlie, you got a microphone. Let's hear from you.
Yeah, those hoodies. Actually, Toledo makes all the outfits. Those are World War I era, like airplane pilot style,
like
black
Amelia
leather
Earhart
slash
shit.
Catwoman helmet things. And my favorite part of the show actually happened when after you all left. But
what was that?
All four girls basically they danced in a pile at the end of the catwalk. During a giant saxophone / stand-up bass solo for somebody's birthday.
Oh.
And what was great about it was three drunk girls that thought they were good enough to dance in the team.
Did they die?
They basically tried to, and one of them got kicked in the face.
That's hot.
And Naughty Show tweets got posted up on the screen inside the Viper Room during the show.
I saw that.
We are winning, everybody. We are winning. So Toledo was great. I mean, they were really happy to have us. You know, it was a great show.
Yeah.
The guy's great.
He's great.
Every girl in there was prime the bone.
Was when you were just like, every girl here wants to fuck. And then you looked around, and it was like Beatlemania. Every girl's face was just like...
It is like intoxicating.
Yeah. I went home.
I'd hate to be the janitor, the mopping you have to do after those. Jesus
oh,
Christ!
Fucking
how many
puss.
How many caution wet floor signs do you have there?
Did you see a lot of this? There goes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So many stooge falls.
So many
Scooby Doo
so
banana peel falls.
Silent film antics going on there. Hold on. I got to keep moving. I got someone come really quick. What do you want to say, Sarah?
I was going to say I went home and danced a Portishead by myself in my room for like
really?
An hour.
Naked?
Yeah. Just fantasizing.
Portishead while giving head.
Oh, man.
What were you thinking about? A black dick? Was that what you were thinking
that
about?
Giant black Toledo fucking the mask era fashion fucking all in my face.
That's great.
Yeah.
Look at her eyeballs. That's so great.
Oh boy.
That was a great moment.
I felt like
moment.
Cameron Diaz ready to bone the zoot suit.
That was great. Yay, Sarah. That was awesome, dude. Every girl I looked over was just like,
Oh, I've closed every deal. Every time I brought a girl there, bring her back to my place, Miles Davis Bitches Brew, and we are nutting by the second half of the record.
That's great.
Guaranteed.
Dude, that's how you should sell it. That's how you sell it. All right. I had a great time.
It was lovely.
Did you have fun?
Lovely.
Gareth?
Yes.
Did you have fun hanging out at the Comedy Store last night?
I did, yeah.
How'd that go?
It was good. It was nice. There's a lot of friends. A lot of friends there.
A lot of friends. I'll tell you, man, now that they moved the open mic off of Sundays to Mondays, that place is even more packed now on Mondays.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well,
I can't believe you don't watch the Ding Dong show the whole time.
Alex and I were watching it.
I cannot stop laughing.
It's
at
amazing.
That.
Dude, come on. Schizophrenic Surfer.
Schizophrenic Surfer is gold.
He was gold, man.
And I like how he's gotten rid of everybody but the hotties.
It really is just like.
And they're all kind of hot for their own reasons.
It's insane. When you watch somebody in there who like doesn't, just there to go like see comedy. They're like, I'll go see. And then like for 20 minutes they're watching the Ding Dong show. They're just like. What the fuck is going on? Ding Dong Show, obviously Don Barris's show. For
it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
It's
and
amazing.
Then the guy from 30 Rock just hangs out there. Him and his girlfriend, you see him in the crowd?
No.
Yeah, well, and the guy's from like 30 Rock just hangs out. He's there. He doesn't just wander. He goes there every week to watch the Ding Dong Show. There's like eight people in the crowd. One of them's 30 Rock, and he brings his like.
Which guy from 30 Rock?
The somewhat bald dude with the long hair, right? Alex, what's his name? I don't know. Okay, he's throwing me some kind of some Canadian sign language over there.
Little Canadian mustard, that's what that was.
Well, guys, last week we had a really great guest on. He was, I hope I didn't hang up on that. We had John Roberts from Bob's Burger, and that's a big animation block on Fox. But
Animation Domination.
Kind of like the beginning of the whole, kind of edgy adult cartoon movement was a festival called Spike and Mike's Sick and Twisted. And I used to go watch it all the time, especially when I just moved to L.A. It was a really great thing. It was a giant event. And one day I was in La Jolla, and I was just walking around, and I saw a guy having a jacket on that said Spike and Mike's Sick and Twisted. So I started talking to him. It turned out it was Spike. And we just started talking. I told him how much I loved him, and he was nice enough to agree to come on our show. So, Spike, are you there? Spike.
Did you hit it, line 12?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm all yous.
There it is.
There you are.
excuse me, this is my feminine radio voice.
Oh, it's
gorgeous.
Man, very sexy.
Beautiful voice.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, between you and Sarah talking about Black Dick, it is a great show so far. Spike, thank you much for calling in. I really appreciate it. The website is spikeandmike.com?
Correctamundo. It's, on Facebook. Yeah, Spike and Mike.
That's amazing. Correct. Now, the festival is phenomenal. A bunch of us have gone to it, and we love it. Exactly how did Spike, how did the Sick and Twisted Festival of Animation get started?
I used to be in a band called Sterno and the Flames, and oddly enough, I did bass vocals in the band, and we'd show 16mm early Max Fleischer, Buddy Boops, and Superman behind the band, and then the band broke up, and we had a house in Riverside, a sort of Animal House type thing, and we'd show films in our living room and show these shorts, again, the Fleischers, and then we'd get 16 porn. We actually got raided by the Vice and Narcotics for showing Deep Throat in our living room.
What?
there's a story for
slow
you.
Slow week at the Vice offices.
I never understood why there's like beat off patrol.
Yeah.
Like for a while there in Hollywood, there was a bunch of celebrities got busted beating off in adult bookstores. So, like who are the cops that are sent to bust these people?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, what are they doing? Those Pee Wee Hermans out there, what are they just waiting for this guy sitting around there,
Yeah.
Or how about the senator got busted in the bathroom because the guy was tapping his foot or something like that?
Yeah, that guy was the
best.
Yeah,
the wide stance guy.
Yeah. I have a wide stance. Come on, everybody. I shit like I'm giving birth. Give me a break here.
So, let me see. From there, it just evolved to we started doing midnight shows and rock shows with, and then. Again, we're opening with animation, and then we started with the original show, which is the non-Sick and Twisted show, and then we started getting material that I couldn't program into the original show, And one night we're doing a show at Wheeler Auditorium at UC Berkeley, and it was a party crowd, and I said, you guys want to see something we don't normally show? And they went nuts. And so I told Mike, if we can come up with a brand, then we can start building content and producing films, because so we had to make like 45 of the films ourselves, because there was nobody making other than a small group of animators out of Vancouver, which was Bambi Meets Godzilla, Lupo the Butcher and stuff like that, that was making.
Which were all great, 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 great films. So you made all the content yourself? I mean, because the way you're talking right now is like content, that is pretty widespread now with the internet. That's everything, got to produce content. But you were doing this kind of before the internet all started.
Yeah, absolutely. We made a lot of films. We made them and shot in 35mm, did all the ink and paint, post-production.
Wow.
Crazy.
You know, we did production on the first two Beavis and Buttheads. But then later on, CalArts guys, Andrew Stanton, who did Nemo and Pete Docter Monsters, and all the early guys from Pixar, we made their shorts, produced them, and then got them out there theatrically and promoted them. So it's just some of the history right there and kept evolving from there.
That's incredible. Now, over the years, there's been a ton of videos. What does any one video stick out more than the others?
In the Sick and Twisted, as far as sickest films, there's a... Oh, God.
I mean, he's overwhelmed.
That's hilarious. There's a film called... I always wanted to get out there. One of my dreams is to get out there, like, mainstream with some of this and get somehow the Spike and Mike Sick and Twisted TV show or just something so it hits the mainstream. So someday they have me on one of those shows across from, you know, Mothers Against Everything. We got Mothers Against Everything and Spike, or we got, you know, Sarah Palin's across from me. And don't you think this is, I mean, anyhow, it's just a fantasy. So that's, but Chirpy, the film called Chirpy and Cuddle Sticks, and Chirpy is about a small bird that falls in love with a horse and involves an egg hole.
Perfect for us. Perfect for
Sam's
us.
Sam's favorite thing.
Yeah.
Perfect for us.
It's not quite Disney.
Nah. Now, you just kind of earlier mentioned that some of your artists went on to do some great stuff. Now, one of my personal favorites that have always stuck out is No Neck Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Now, absolutely. No Neck Joe was done by an artist who had gone on to do a lot of amazing stuff.
Yeah, Craig McCracken, No Neck Joe, and then he did Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls. That's amazing.
And it was Whoop-Ass. I believe it was Whoop-Ass Stew, and then they changed it to Powerpuff Girls, and he was out of CalArts. So, yeah, the No Neck Joes were great. We always open with those. Those are hilarious.
Now, do you, adult edgy animation is huge now. It's everywhere. Yeah. Like, do you guys kind of feel like you had a little to do with that? Like, the godfathers of the Sick and Twisted and the, you know, the Fox animation blocks and the Adult Swims, excuse me.
Absolutely. No, that's true. It's a strange world, you know. I mean, we have a book out. It came out some years ago called Outlaw Animation. And Jerry Beck, the author, said a quote in there, which I always dug, Spike and Mike came from nowhere with nothing and created a market where none existed. And it's just always a really neat quote. And so, yeah, I mean, we've done all this, and it's strange sometimes to sit back and hear the media talk about, oh, look at what's new and what's this, you know, and it's we're sitting there on the bus stop watching the bus pull out. Like, aren't we supposed to be on that kind of thing, you know?
No, well, you guys are doing a lot of great stuff. You're producing. You got this festival going. And the amazing part is that you do this all on your own, with your own funding. It's never through big corporation stuff. It's almost like very grassroots still.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes I lose sight of that, but we did. We did all the production, the booking, the promotion, finding the films, everything, you know.
Now,
and I mean, I look back on it, and every aspect is doing shows all over the world, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
What's next? When's the next festival? What's next for you guys? How can we be a part of it? I mean, are you doing anything in Los Angeles? I'd love to come watch.
I'd like to get back to Lonely Sunset. We used to do midnights over there.
Yep, I've been there.
Yeah, really cool show. We just did an anniversary show in La Jolla down here at the museum. We had David Silverman from The Simpsons, and we had Rich Moore, who did Wreck-It Ralph, who we'd grown up with Rich at CalArts. I'd like to get back up in there, and there's a company called TUGG, T-U-G-G, out of Austin, Texas, and we just did a deal with them where people can go on that site, and they have this formula where somebody can go on there in their city and create their own Spike and Mike event or at a theater, and when they reach this threshold of tickets, then we come in through TUGG and present a show, because when we traveled and on the road, obviously we can, it's like a band, we can only be in one place at one time.
Oh, so that's awesome.
That's something. And I was watching an interview of yours. You're talking about the, you know, the internet and, you know, how powerful it is if you can find your audience. And I thought that was really poignant, because that's something we're trying to do, because we have this huge, huge vault of great content, and we're trying to partner up with the right company that respects us and doesn't want to screw us, but wants to mutually do deals and then get it out there in other platforms, you know, rather than just theatrical, putting asses in seats.
Well, I'm a huge fan of your guys, and anything and everything you ever need and I can help with, I would love to do it. Please keep us informed. And let us know, man, if you ever have anything you want to push or anything like that. I'd love to have you back on the show anytime you want to call. I know you're in La Jolla, but if you ever come up to L.A., come in. We'd love to have you on the show, man.
Cool. I appreciate it. We're also at Comic-Con every year. And, yeah, we'll send you. We've got some stuff cooking, so we'll let you know. But I appreciate you guys digging the show and having me on.
Spike, man, I love the show, and I really appreciate you coming on. And I'm going to be in La Jolla. I'm going to be in San Diego during Comic-Con this year. So if there's any way we could hook up, I'd love to just see you and see what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Our booth, and we're going to have some good people there. So we'll let you know what's going on with that.
Keep me posted. All right, spikeandmikes.com. Check out all their stuff. And if they got stuff going on in L.A., man, we'll let everybody who loves The Naughty Show know about it. We'll try to get as many people as we can. Thanks for calling in, man. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Take care,
bye-bye.
Spike. Bye,
awesome.
Bud.
Hey.
Yeah, wow. I love that, man. I grew up on that stuff.
There you go.
I grew up. Let's keep the animation rocking. From Spike and Mike to one of my favorite people on the planet, we brought you in. We made it a whole animation show.
Nice.
Please welcome my good friend, Deepak, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Deepak, you can follow him at Tremendous News on Twitter, TremendousNews.com. He's written on Family Guy, Brickleberry, and he's from Canada.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
From Canada.
My good friend, we gigged it. We're a comedy team. We like to work together. We like to go on the road. We like to wreck bitches.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? What do
you
we
know
do?
What we do? We go to P.F. Chang's at 11:45.
We go to P.F. Chang's.
We wreck the food.
We wreck the salad. He orders a salad at P.F. Chang's with the worst thing you can actually order at a Chinese restaurant.
Oh my God.
It's a Chinese restaurant, Sam.
And we discuss how much the waitstaff does not respect us. They won't even wait on us. We're there for 2 minutes. We're begging them to come serve us.
Right, but we have no courage to go and say something.
You should say something.
I can't do that. No, I don't want to be that guy. I just passive aggressively take it.
Yeah. We mean mug everybody walking by. Let me tell you,
By the way, Yelp is my best friend now.
Why?
And I just go on Yelp all the time. So I was considering after we went to P.F. Chang's, and they didn't see us, by the way, for like 15 minutes.
Jesus.
They didn't.
They didn't. And
because we look like we don't tip. He looks somewhat Mexican. I look dirty Armenian. They don't think we want to.
Why can't I just look somewhat brown? Like,
no.
It's like, I'm already a minority. Like, do I have to be considered another minority?
Yeah. Different minority.
He looked very miscellaneous at the time.
Yeah. And dirty. The race has dirty in it. Dirty Mexican.
Yeah, I can't just be an indie guy. See, that would serve the purpose that you want. Yeah, so we didn't get seated, and then when we got seated, they didn't give us appoint us the waiter, so we didn't have anyone to take our
Chang
order.
P.F. Chang is rolling in his grave right now. If he's real, I don't know if he's real.
He is Mexican, by the way.
He's a dirty Mexican.
So yeah,
P.F. stands for Pedro Fernandez.
Yes, Pedro Fernandez Chang.
Chang.
So just on that, I wanted to do my first Yelp review because I was so kind of angry by it.
You were very angry.
I was. So I looked at Yelp, and you know, Yelp is amazing because you get to see everything. And so I was driving by Sweet Thai Chili, which is on Santa Monica in West Hollywood, and it said on the door, it said, "People love us on Yelp." And I was like, really, bitch? I'm going to go check that out. So I took out my phone and I checked it.
Did you pull over or
no.
did you just while you were driving?
Just sirens behind me. Pulled over. Literally pulled over. And they were like, you know, we were trying to pull you over for like three like headlines. Intersections. I had been just on Yelp so much. You know when people text and drive, that's bad. I was so intensely texting and driving that I didn't even know there was sirens.
A lot of Yelp
me.
And driving deaths lately.
But it's such an embarrassing way to get a texting and driving ticket, you know, because I wasn't
Yelping?
Even, I was just confirming a Yelp.
Like, did you ever think about that your actual defense would be that you weren't texting and that, in fact, you were Yelping?
Yeah, I should have. He just would have been embarrassed for me. He would just been like, really?
The people versus Deepak, we all remember the Yelp defense, the Hail Mary, the 11th hour.
And people did like them on Yelp, which really sucked.
Why? Have you been there?
No, it's
what's
a good place.
Good? Why
I
does
just
it
don't
suck?
Like when people say that. Like, I don't, you know.
You like when people are like, this is awesome when they're awesome?
Well, I mean, Yelp is a constantly changing thing. You never know when they're going to turn on you.
No, what I hate is when something's good and some asshole just comes and trolls them.
That's the problem.
That
is the
sucks.
Assholes. Yeah.
That's so true. When someone's actually good and then they say something good, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
but it could just be
good.
The assholes angling for a different asshole scheme.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe the people there were like, hey, asshole, do you like us? He's like, well, okay. And they're like, all right, asshole, eat here for free.
That's true. I did post my first Yelp, though. It was Jimmy John's in Atlanta.
Oh, I think we all remember our first Yelp.
What's the word?
It was just the worst Yelp because it looked like every other Jimmy John's. I was like, brightly lit. This one's really well lit.
This is a really good one, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you outdid yourself.
Jimmy nailed it.
And it was.
That was Jimmy John. John is last name, or is that Jimmy and John?
You know,
he's
John?
A man.
Oh, he. There's a Jimmy John out there. There's not a Jimmy who hangs out with a John.
No, I think Jimmy brought the bread, and then John.
John's
had
like,
the,
you got to put
meat.
Shit in that, Jimmy.
It was the perfect merger.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
I was just selling this bread without anything in it,
and here I am just handing out deli meats, and no one's buying. I'm glad we met.
Now, let's talk about the time we worked together, man. Let me really quickly just let everybody know what it's like to work with me.
Oh, it's really, really good. You wake up very early. You always have a crisis that you text over to me. At the time, I think someone just died. You were like, someone died. That's what I got. I was supposed
and you were
to go for
pissed.
Lunch.
You're
I was
like,
supposed to go.
Okay, dude, we'll go to Applebee's if
we'll
you want
to
go
to PF Chang's and Grieve.
You thought I didn't want to go so much to Macaroni Grill that I faked a friend dying.
I really wanted to go to Macaroni
like,
Grill.
You're like, fine, we'll go to Applebee's. I'm like, no, somebody died.
Yeah,
like,
but you just you can't drop that bomb. Like, oh, someone died.
Well, what if
you
somebody died?
You got to explain that. And I got to know why I'm not going to Macaroni Grill at that time. You know, you got to tell me how close the friend is.
A dinner also died that night. Yeah. So, a little respect.
Two
well, the
tragedies.
Thing is, and I agree with Deepak, I like to go to restaurants when I'm out of town that I can't get in L.A. Because I live in Hollywood, unless you want to drive really far in traffic. Because within Hollywood, they don't put certain chains.
What are the chains you're craving?
Oh, we listed this. This is great.
What are
no,
these?
Sonic is terrible. Sonic, I'm sorry, Sonic. I used to live in Texas. I live in San Antonio, Texas, and there's Sonics all over the place, and they had like the worst things, like fried pickles, just. The
who's
pickle,
frying the, pickles?
And it's
Sonic.
Too,
it's just un-American.
Whoa.
Can I just say the word that it is? Pickles are too moist? Oh, look, a girl just left when I said moist.
Pickles are moist. Pickles are moist.
It happens everywhere
leave.
All across
she
the country.
She got molested by a 70-year-old black man last night, so she's dealing
whose
with that.
Whose pickle was soaking.
I enjoyed that. I'm sure you did. Your nipples are still hard from it. Yeah, Applebee's? There's no Applebee's around here.
Yeah, sure.
Chili's. There's no Chili's.
We did Olive Garden, which was good. I love
Olive Garden.
I love
was
Red
good.
Lobster. I think it's very, very good.
You like
that's
Red Lobster?
That's my favorite.
It is good, right?
Yeah, I
my
love Red Lobster.
My dad loves Red Lobster. He loves taking his black girl from the Red Lobster.
It is a very big hit in the African
It really is. I do a joke about that.
And also P.F. Chang's, too. P.F. Chang's is very...
Is big with black community?
I think so, yeah.
So, like, anytime the NBA All-Star game's in town, you can't get a seat? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And so are Indian restaurants, I find.
Really?
No.
No,
no one frequents them. Not even us.
When we worked together, you were part of the angry Shaniqua incident of 2013.
Yes. Did you guys hear about this? How many episodes were devoted to this?
it's in the title of one of the episodes.
Okay, because Sam always like he plays it off like it wasn't a big deal, but it was such a big deal.
It's
crossed the bear forever now, and he'll be like, I don't care, but it's just an hour about why she was in the wrong. So, but she was in the wrong. I agree with you on that. I think that you know, especially you don't go after the show and make the comments that weren't even funny, you know?
That's my whole thing. You know, it's like, dude, literally, she didn't introduce herself to me at no point.
Refresh the audience.
Refresh a memory.
But I think we should hear your take on it. Let's hear it now. Right. Let's hear Angry Shaniqua from your perspective.
Let's hear the real one.
Okay.
Do you remember the incident of 2013?
First of all, it wasn't black. She was not black.
Okay. That's a little, huge.
Right, that's a huge part.
Huge old, difference already. Old, massive.
Old Chinese woman.
Good God, you monster! Was this about P.F. Chang? Is that why you went after her? You got a salad, asshole. Don't blame every Asian.
No, she was she was very, like, a lot of it, the comedy she did was kind of, like, right on the nose, sort of, like, you know, black humor.
Right.
Yeah. And she, I think she was long on her opening.
It wasn't
she was a host.
It wasn't even that. What she was doing on stage, because that really wasn't anything. I mean, it was your typical,
okay,
like,
so
uh-huh.
She's hosting the show. She's black. She's doing a lot of black material then.
And she just, like, you know. So I walk in as she's on stage. She gets off. I think there's someone doing a guest spot.
Yeah.
And then after that, Deepak goes up. At no point does she try to find me to be like, hey, I'm hosting, man. You know, blah, blah, blah. Let's just meet. I'm really the easiest person to work with. I'm really sympathetic. And I'm because, you know, I've been through all that stuff of dealing with asshole headliners and all that stuff. And so I'm like, really like, hey, man, whatever you want to do to have fun, you know, let's have a good time. I'm pretty laid back. I don't demand a lot, you know. So she just never even came up to me. So she even goes up. She runs to DJ. How you say his name? How you say his name?
See, why she was
so
Chinese.
She is Asian. She is Asian. She is Asian now. Okay. All right. Well, Deepak, I'm glad we did this.
But it was a really bad intro. And bad intros,
I don't
really
even know who he is. I mean, he must be really good if he's closing this out. You know, he must be a player.
As great as, you know, you are as a stand-up, and stand-ups have so much experience, when you have a bad intro, it really kind of messes with you. Seinfeld has this thing about how Louis C.K., when he was 19 years old, introduced him in Boston, and he said, Louis C.K. said, now, for the funniest comedian alive, please welcome Jerry Seinfeld. And Jerry Seinfeld just did his set, 50 minutes, and came up to Louis C.K. and said, don't ever do that again. And, like, just Louis C.K. is like, you probably just thought of my ugly face the entire 45 minutes, just ready to just yell at me the whole time. Right. And so it's like that. It doesn't matter, you know, how good you are.
By the way, in terms of intros, that's not that bad. There's way worse.
Yeah, it sounds like you were on the
There's
other
way worse
end.
Intros to get.
This intro was kind of like she just picked you from the audience. Like, okay, the next guy's going to be.
He's a man on earth, guys. He's a man on earth.
I once got. This guy's comedy is like a train went off the tracks and smashed into an abortion clinic. That was literally the intro I got from somebody.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's a bad intro.
That's pretty bad.
The funniest guy on the planet, not that bad. I could deal with that. I could play with it, you know. Okay, let's taper some, you know, expectations here. I could have fun with that. This guy is a locomotive that fell off the tracks, smashed into a place where they kill babies. Welcome, Sam Tripoli. Is that the intro you want?
I don't
want?
Know. You can always do better than the intro because that's like such an intro where you're like, whatever you do is going to be greater than an intro.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
This one was like forgetting your name is like a very big deal. You're the headliner. Yeah. That people are, you know, had tickets, you know. I don't think they had tickets with your name on it, but I was going
to
go that far, and then I said, no,
you're
not.
This audience, totally true.
The audience
it's
is too
totally
smart.
True.
The audience is too smart for this.
That weekend was inspiring to me.
Okay, so wait. Yeah, yeah. You haven't gotten to it.
So she introduces me, and I don't know her name, and I make a joke, a comedy joke, giving
which
up
is?
For Shaniqua.
Uh-huh.
Listen, man.
And it did okay.
It got left.
All right.
So I go up there, and I'm doing my act. And, you know, it's going well. It's fun set. Everybody's having a good time. I get done. I walk up. She walks up. I go to shake her hand. Won't shake my hand. Just walks right by me, grabs the microphone, goes, yeah, this motherfucker starts talking about, call me Shaniqua.
Yeah, people are leaving at this point. Because
people are just staring like,
exiting.
Yeah, yeah, that's awkward.
Wait, and how long did you do?
And then Sam and
I
her
did
dated.
Like, well, Sam loves 40 Asians. Minutes.
So for 40 minutes, that's all she stood there thought about, was boiling over it, and imagined the whole audience still even remembered. You called her Shaniqua?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what she started doing was going in the audience of people I played with and took what my crowd work was, and she tried to make it negative, which totally didn't work. Like, yeah. There was this black chick who had, like, beads and hair. I'm like, hey, what's up? What's up, a Venus Williams? And everyone laughs. And she's like, oh, you called a Venus Williams? That's the ugly sister. He called you. I'm like, no, I bang black chicks. I'm totally fine with purple pussy, okay? I like it. You know what I'm saying? It's totally fine. And just nobody laughed. Everyone just staring at her the whole time. And then she comes right before the show's about to end. She walks up and she stands 3 feet in front of me, between me and the crowd that's leaving, to kind of like,
make a show.
He's going to say something to me, and I'm going to lay into him. And I was like, I don't really care at this point.
Yeah, now she has a pilot on NBC.
Sam Tripoli auditioning for Neighbor.
Welcome to Angry Shaniquas. All right.
Oh, in the last second, her pilot got picked up the series.
Congratulations.
Just now?
Really?
Yeah, now.
While you got that
in
app?
Syndication.
Christ.
It moves fast when you're Shaniqua.
I don't know if you heard this. I just heard it's Emmys. It's nominated for 5 Emmys. Oh. Her show, yeah. I know this is tough to hear, Sam, but
she's going to not thank Sam Tripoli.
Yeah.
Next on NBC's Angry Shaniqua. This motherfucker right here. All right.
The antagonist is named Sam Tripoli.
That Sam Tripoli, motherfucker, turning off the gas. Fuck Sam Tripoli. Everybody say it with me. Fuck Sam Tripoli. We'll be right back.
We noticed that your shows have no story at all.
Yeah. Well, the story is really that Sam Tripoli's a fucking dick, and fuck him. And in the next episode, I realize Sam really is a fucking dick, and I hate him.
What if she just follows me all around and just tries to rally people to hate me?
Yeah,
that's the whole show.
Club card,
you go.
Club card number at the grocery store. Man, fuck him.
Tell him bag his own groceries.
Fuck him, man.
Sam dies in every episode. Stay tuned for The Voice. Coming back. Wait, is that?
Oh my god, so funny. Now listen, one thing I want to talk about is a very very sensitive subject to you. Your hatred of Indian jokes.
Yeah,
I do hate that. Indian jokes. Why do you hate them so much?
It's so weird. I talk to my comic friends about this, and I get this weird laugh when I don't expect it, and I always just say I worked in IT, and then I get this weird like laugh,
right? Like, duh. Yeah.
But it's bigger than the joke.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's what I really did. I worked in IT. And right. It's kind of like that racist, weird laugh. Like, I did a joke about terrorism, and I started off with, I think about terrorism a lot, because I do. And then I get, that's a bigger laugh on that than on everything else. So then I start to hate the audience for being racist. And then.
So when you do a joke about being in India and they laugh, that pisses you off?
Yeah. I don't know why. It just does. I just feel like it's some sort of weird, like, I don't know. It just seems like I'm not.
Hey, do you
really
think it's an easy laugh?
I think it's an easy laugh for sure.
Well, it's not the point, right? That's what you're saying. You're like,
yeah, that's not the point. My point is coming up. It's not about, you know. My joke about IT, for example, is really that a true story. I got laid off, and my cousin from India actually, like, my job was outsourced to my actual cousin.
Okay.
So that's,
oh my God.
That's the thing.
That's a true story.
It's a true story. But when I go, I worked in IT, it gets a bigger laugh than that.
Yeah.
So, then, you know, that's just people laughing at
Indian. Why do you think that Indians are acceptable to make fun of when some people can't laugh at maybe black people?
I think it's because it's a positive stereotype. You know, I think that's what happens a lot. It's like, oh, if you say Jewish people are fiscally responsible, it's a lot different than, you know, like in Indian people, it's always like, oh, you guys are doctors and like you work in computers. Those are good things.
Yeah.
So right. It's not like, you know, there's not many negative. I mean, we smell.
Like Asian
Jews
could just rack on.
I went to an Indian restaurant.
I didn't want to say anything.
I went to an Indian restaurant on Friday or something, and I had to take my jacket off, put it in the car, and then go to the restaurant because it really. Like,
you
lingers.
Didn't want it to seep in.
Yeah,
to the material.
It seeps in. It's exactly.
I left Indian food in my car overnight one time.
Oh,
I could smell my car coming downstairs. I was like, oh, sweet God. This is not going to end
you
well.
Guys,
and what is that smell? If you had to describe that smell.
Pre-diarrhea.
A little pre and post.
But like you see the food trucks, there's food trucks here in LA that are, you know, they serve everything, mac, cheese, whatever. But there's an Indian one. And if you ever see the food trucks, they leave the space between themselves and the Indian truck. It's literally just an isolated Indian truck because it smells so much it ruins their business.
Oh, my God. That's, even the trucks are racist.
Trucks are just.
I don't want to stand next to that dirty Indian truck.
But do Indians care that it smells?
I don't think so.
Are they just walking around with those CSI stuff they put under their lip when they can't, so they can't smell?
No, not really. But I was told when
I was
a kid.
Actually, no, Sam.
I was told when I was a kid that I smelled, and I go, really? And then I smell my clothes, and I was like, I do, and it's because of the spices my parents use.
It is the food, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's the food.
Wouldn't it be funny if your parents used spices to clean your clothes?
Oh, they're just, you're like,
I... Ancient Indian Sikh.
Yeah.
Mom, this is just getting more red. What? And tastier.
Did you eat your jacket?
But now the new, this is actually, not a lot of people know this, but like a lot of Indian families, like, you know, like my age, they have homes, they buy this exhaust that's just built just for Indian families that will take out the smell. It's for restaurants, but it's built for like Indian houses.
So
Indian Shark Tank.
In the spirit of this conversation.
I should have done that.
Indian Shark Tank right there. Right.
But I'm already on Shaniqua's show, so I can't really.
Oh, you did book that.
I can't extend
Congrats
myself.
Congrats on the nod, too. Thanks. That's awesome.
Hold
on.
They call back for that? I'm still waiting for the call back.
I broke every story.
Yeah, that's
it
awesome.
It was so easy. It
did
in 10
great.
Minutes.
No, yeah. The arc was awesome. Sam, you're in it, sort of. Anyway, you had a question.
It's time. In the spirit of this conversation, it's time to play It's Stereotypes.
Ba-da-ba-bow.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay, here we go. It's time to play Power Rank the Indian Comics. So
awesome.
So we don't have the echo for that? We're always playing that.
Okay, it's time to play.
We don't have the echo? I thought that was
rank the Indian Comics. Here we go. Name our five Indian comics, and we're going to have Deepak power rank them.
Okay, cool. here's
Yelp
the five
them,
comics.
If you will.
Russell Peters, Kumail Nanjiani, Aziz Ansari, Mindy Kaling, and Dan Niman.
Can I just rank how white she sounded? Just saying.
Oh, come on.
It was just, it's like a lot of like LA girls are like, I want to go to India so badly.
Oh, that's the best.
India.
I really want to go to New Delhi. It's going to be great.
Try some curry.
This really happens to me.
She
like,
loves using Spanish at Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
Mi ordo. Tres nachos.
Burrito. Trace nachos. Okay, three nachos. What else? Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me get my Rosetta out. I don't think I wanted that. I want the big ones.
Okay.
My Rosetta. Let me just pop in the CD. Yeah, this is not going to be time consuming.
I have a Rosetta keychain. It's very good.
No, there's an actual lady named Rosetta in the back.
What is it? Rosetta, I'm sorry. One more time. Big nachos. I think I keep ordering three. Oh, grande. Grande. Thank you, Rosetta. Are you high? You're not stoned, are you? All right, anyway.
Sam just pushed his mic across the room.
Oh. It's a tantrum, technically.
I was listening to the last episode when Steve was telling stories, and I couldn't stop laughing. I didn't want to laugh over what he's saying. So, power rank Indian comedian.
All right, I got this. Well, I would put Russell number one.
Let's go. Okay.
Just because I grew up.
Russell Peters.
I grew up with Russell, and so when I was 10 years old, this is a true story. I've known him since I was 10.
True stories.
17 years old, I was at high school, and I had a club that was severely, like, in debt, so we owed, like, $1,800 at the end of the school year, so I had no money. We had no money. So I called up Russell, who was a family friend. I said, can you come do the show at my high school? And he goes, what time is it? I'm like, 11:30 in the morning. He's like, fuck that. I don't wake up till 1 or whatever. But he does it. Immediately become like the most profitable club in our high school. He does the show. We sold it for $2 a ticket at the time. This is 1997. And he rocked it. So for that alone, that's a great story that, like, you know, who does that? Like, who? No one does that.
Nobody
that's
does
that. That's
pretty
awesome.
So power one.
But his rider was crazy. His rider was insane.
Man, as many nuggets as I want. And I get to use the faculty bathroom. All right.
You're only going to be here for an hour. Do you need the bathroom?
I want the option.
You know Eddie Griffin's Ryder, he gets a new pair of sneakers for every show.
Yeah, I heard that.
How crazy
wow,
is that?
I heard what a great idea.
Just ask for $200 more. Why?
Because yeah, he can. That's why.
Are you guys going to any Oscar parties?
Come on.
I'm actually going to the Shaniqua rap. I mean, that party's going to be awful.
I heard.
Number
I heard throwing it.
Four.
Oh, number four. Wait, I thought we did number one, so this should be number two, right?
Okay. Number two.
Can we get the white reading again? The white girl reading.
Yeah, wait,
you know what's horrible? I don't even know how I'm saying it white to change it and do it better.
That's almost better now. You're way inside your head.
Kumail Nanjiani.
You know what was funny? The audience never really got to see this, but she shook her head and tried to do it Indian, but it just looked
I'm
like she was having
there
a seizure.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See, now that's an Indian stereotype, yeah, but you look like you were going to just convulse.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was really weird.
I thought it would help, like, shake it loose. Kumail, Aziz Ansari, Mindy Kaling, or Dan Ninen.
I don't even know Dan Ninen that well. So I haven't seen Mindy perform. I'm sure she's great. But I would say Kumail. Kumail's really funny. I think
number two?
Yeah, number two.
Okay.
Out of that.
So who's left?
Aziz. Aziz really funny.
Aziz is three?
Yeah.
You love Aziz?
I think he's funny. I think he's really funny. I don't think he does a lot of Indian material, which is also really
very
good.
Cool.
You know,
very cool.
It fits in with my motto. So even though, like, most of my act is just Indian material, I like to be that. I like to be that guy who's like,
that's
"Yeah, we shouldn't do that. Hold on, let me just do 12 minutes on in an accent.
Time to move on, but,
guys. We shouldn't really make fun of our race, but let me just do.
I feel like we're all doing it, which is really mean. I'll do it. I'll take it,
Mindy.
Guys, if you're not going to do the racism stuff, I'll just do it.
You said to not do it.
Just because I don't want anyone to ruin it. You know, I want to make sure
we need to preserve it for history in a way. Yeah.
This is how Gandhi would have done it.
Gandhi's rider, crazy. So many water chestnuts. Insane.
I took a course in at university or college. Sorry, I'm Canadian. But it was called Mahatma Gandhi, His Life. And in the first day, I learned that he just went rip shit on whores when he was like 21 years old. Like, on the first day, I was like, this is an amazing course. I did not know that. When he was like before married, he would be in like South Africa and he would just go to town in brothels and just... He was addicted to sex.
Dude, a lot of the people who ran with whores, I mean, if you think about it, Martin Luther King loved to bang chicks.
Right.
Jesus
ran with a hooker.
Malcolm X.
Did he?
Yeah.
Malcolm X? Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
Who was also.
Yeah. He couldn't cut it out.
oh, my God.
Okay, so who's going to be number five? Is it Dan Ninen or Mindy
It looks like the list is going to end up being
in order. Who doesn't
know
Dan Ninen?
I don't know him.
Well, that.
By the way, if you ever get a chance to see LOL Dan Ninen, Tumblr is the most brilliant shit ever.
Oh, cool.
It's
yeah,
really awesome.
It's seriously
the funniest.
When I showed it to him, because I was obsessed with it, and that's why he made this list. And when I showed it to Sam, he was fucking laughing on the phone for like 10 minutes.
So how do you know he's Indian? Does he say he's Indian? Or?
I looked at his face.
Oh.
Well, like Sam always
you
says.
Smelled
no.
You smelled him through the Tumblr?
No, but it's not his Tumblr.
It was called Bumbler. Blow it out your Bumbler.
It's a Tumblr about him. Like,
oh, okay.
I think he's kind of a crazy person. Like, he was kind of on the list as like a novelty, and I was hoping you knew.
He was
nobody
the whammy.
Does. Yeah, yeah. Like, well, he's going to place fifth. Yeah.
Well, let's talk
sure
about how you blew up. You blew up off of Tremendous News. What? For those who don't know what that is, what is it?
It's a website that I started in my parents' basement. I used to live with my parents till I was 30 years old. So,
which is typical for the Indian community.
Not really. Thank you. Though, well, for giving me that.
It's nice to make a sweeping judgment, though, isn't it?
Thank
now,
you.
Why do all Indians live downstairs in basements? What is it about that? You like to be closer to the cool? Is that what it is?
Why are you all pathetic the same way?
So you guys are flying the carpet to school, and walk me through that.
Yeah, it's not really. I mean, like, no one else that I knew, none of my Indian friends were living at home. They were all married or engaged and, you know.
Very young, right?
To yeah.
People that were picked for them.
No, not really. It's all just educating Sam Triple in another episode of Breaking Sam Stereotypes.
No, not really, Sam.
Yeah.
So you were, how did it, so you just.
It'd be great if he was like, you guys can't turn left, right, when you walk. You guys don't have the ability to smile, do you?
Why no showers, only baths? What is it about the culture?
Just a weird stereotype. Why are you guys afraid of accountants?
Now explain this blinking one eye at a time thing. Why are you punished?
I don't think we have that.
So
I'm just getting bad information.
Boy. Hold on, let me scroll down.
So tremendous news. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I started I was selling chickpeas. My dad had a bean company. And I was a chickpea salesman, which was one of the easiest job in the world.
I loved them.
I'm waiting for Sam to be like, look, everybody does. Took over your father's chickpea business.
Yeah. Right. And so I was like doing that, and I was kind of bored and kind of unhappy with the whole thing. So I started anonymously, which is important to the story because no one knew who I was. And I started just blogging about stuff like 10 ways you can humiliate your kids on Facebook, which, you know, kind of took off. And then Alyssa Milano, like followed me on Twitter at that time, was kind of like early in Twitter. It's 2009. And through her help, I met Ricky Blitt, who's this legendary writer, wrote for Family Guy, wrote The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville and Katherine Heigl. It's just this crazy good writer.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what Ricky did was like, hey, he's like, do you have any scripts? And I said, yeah, I got tons of scripts. I had no scripts. So I just ran to the bookstore, bought every script, like screenwriting, like book I could find, wrote this pilot. Gave it to Ricky. He calls me. It's our first time. Like, someone called me from LA. I'm like, oh my God, this is an LA call. And Ricky's like, hey, it's Ricky. Have you sent those scripts to anyone? And I'm like, no. He's like, don't. They suck. They're terrible. I had insert commercial break in the script. That's how bad they were. It was so bad. So he kind of was like, okay, listen, I'm going to send you a script that I wrote. Just read it and like understand it. And so I started to read more of it. And then through his mentorship, I wrote a spec of The Office. He sent it to Seth MacFarlane, and I got hired on Family Guy.
Crazy.
So, yeah, it was a crazy story. And the funniest part of the story is I had to tell my dad that I was leaving not only the business, which he wanted me to like, you know, take over, but leaving Toronto and going to L.A. And it was almost like coming out as like a homosexual to my parents who really wanted me to be this chickpea salesman forever. And so, yeah, so once he realized that, you know, it was kind of...
Is there a lucrative chickpea industry?
Yeah. You know, it's a good business. You know, every single year, beans goes up. No matter what, when the recession hit, we were up. Everyone else, you know, and he had it for about 2 years.
Do you see yourself going back, reinvesting in the chickpea industry?
That'd be really funny if I had a really bad set. Just a bad set like Hyenas in Fort Worth. I'm like, fuck this, man.
Following Angry Shaniqua.
Chickpeas.
The story of a man selling chickpeas. He tried writing. Didn't work out.
I mean, it did. But anyway, now he's here on this chickpea farm.
Now you're writing with Seth Farland. Let me ask you an honest question. Who is more inspirational to work with, Seth Farland or me?
Well, I did write for season 10 on Family Guy. Then I wrote for Brickleberry for a while. And then I just helped out with Dumb and Dumber 2, which is amazing.
When's that coming out?
Coming out November 14th this year, which might get changed to July 27th, but really exciting. Jim
is it
Carrey.
Still shooting?
It's shot already. It's done. We shot in Atlanta. Yeah, it was fun. And
did you rap really hard?
I did. Oh, just the Jim Carrey story, which I... There was a birthday party for one of the people on Dumb and Dumber who I became friendly with at the Roosevelt on Saturday. And Jim Carrey shows up, you know, to it's a surprise birthday for her.
Oh, wow.
And so me and Jim Carrey's security guard, who I, you know, got to know a lot because we were on set doing nothing, equally doing nothing at that point. And so we got to know each other. And he was waiting for Jim Carrey. We walk in. It was me, his bodyguard, and Jim Carrey. The bodyguard goes up to the bouncers. Big black guy, right? He's like, hey, I got Jim Carrey. He goes, whoa. What you say you got Jim Carrey? Oh, yeah, right. You got Jim Carrey. Yeah, whatever, man. Jim Carrey goes, hi, I'm Jim Carrey. He goes, holy shit. And then he just go ahead. And then I swear to God, we're walking in the club and he goes, Jim, do whatever you want, man. Do whatever you want, man. That's all I heard. I'm like... What was that?
What Jim just went on a crime spree at that point.
He just killed someone right away.
Like,
thanks,
the guy
man.
Said I could do that.
Like the his boss was like, no, you can't say that to people. No, can't do whatever they want.
I didn't think I had to tell you about that rule. That's a rule.
Do whatever you want, man.
Oh, man.
It's like, wow, this is great.
So let's talk about your Tinder dates. How's Tinder been going?
Tinder's been horrible, man.
Now, he used to be on Tinder. He's not on Tinder anymore.
I know. We met that way. That's how we met, actually.
So awkward. It's so awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, are you Tindering at all, or is it done?
No, I'm off of Tinder. It's over. I mean, it's just because it's all just...
You know where
there
else?
Should be one for Indians called Tindian.
Oh, that's very good.
There should be.
That was really uncalled for, dude.
You think that all Indians live in basements?
That's basic fact.
That would be good.
Oh, my God. Well, we're coming to an end. I'm so happy you came on the show.
Thanks, man.
You're
this
really
was fun.
A great guy.
This is a really
I'm
good.
Really excited to see all the stuff that's going to happen for you out here.
You think Dumb and Dumber 2 is going to be awesome? Because there's so much anticipation.
I will tell you this. I got to see about 15 to 20 minutes of it, and I was on set for a lot of it. And it's amazing. I was crying laughing. So,
do you know Brian Jarvis?
I think you asked me that. He writes with the Fairleys, right, sometimes? Yeah, I don't think I've met him, but I've heard good things about
him. Funniest dude you'll ever meet.
Can I promote?
Yes.
The Fairley Brothers Twitter is... Fairley Brothers, and we're gonna start tweeting some stuff over there. That's kind of cool about the movie. So that's one thing. And
they tweeted a video of mine. That was mind blowing for me.
That was amazing. Yeah, that's cool. I have a
character I invented with my buddy Brian Jarvis called Dirty Diamond, and he takes all Neil Diamond shit and makes it filthy, and it crushes. And one day he hit me up.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I have seen it.
And also, our close friend Nick Swartzen is on a show called Chosen.
When's that come out?
That came out January. It's animated on FX.
That show looks fucking awesome.
And it's really funny, so if you get a chance, check that out.
For sure. I've never seen anyone promote someone else's stuff. That was awesome.
No,
that's
cool.
A good friend.
Thanks,
that's a good
man.
Friend. Tremendous News, tremendousnews.com.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's it, man. It was good hanging out with you guys.
Well, I invite you to stay for the next hour because it's going to be crazy, but you got trivia to go do?
I got trivia. This is a big night for us. We're defending our title.
Who do you do it against?
Swartzen's on our team. We have a couple other people on our team, and we play in West Hollywood.
Oh.
So at different places, including gay bars, which, you know.
Hey, dude.
Any a lot stadium. Of share questions. A lot of money
in the gay bars, in that trivia gay bar world, dude.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of money being laid. They don't have kids. Yep. They don't have kids.
Yep.
So do we have anything to push?
Go to naughtyshow.net and comment on these episodes. Click the link. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review.
That episode flew, man.
Yeah, it went fast. Really fast, right?
That was great. Hey, guys.
Well, that's what happens when you're racist.
Oh!
Hey, everybody. Check out The Naughty Show. Got a bunch of great shows coming up.
Can I plug India, please?
Yes, India. February 20th, The Naughty Show, Main Room, Thursday. It's an awesome lineup. Morgan Murphy, Owen Benjamin, Joe DeRosa, Tiffany Haddish, Erica Holland, and the Prevenade Art Girls are going to be there. It's going to be chaos. Vibrators, dildos, weed. Come, hang out. It's going to be great. We'll see you on the other side. Playboy Radio, it's The Naughty Show.
PF stands for Pedro Fernandez.
Yes. Pedro Fernandez Chang.